Good morning.
I don't. Some of you noticed I sneaked in a couple of weeks ago to your morning service because I just wanted to see the new way of doing things. And one of the things I'm really pleased about is that you can engage the congregation. And you can get them to do some of the work. And Ruth's already started that by asking, can you remember what you're doing Easter? I'm going to make a statement and then ask you to just talk about it for 2 or 3 minutes tables. The statement is this. Today is the 14th Sunday of Easter. Discuss. Okay, right. I don't think you need a sermon. I could just set you off and away you'll go. Let me tell you where throwing that statement out came from. I was preaching the week after Easter. And in the Anglican setup, have a called the Book of Common Worship, which gives set prayers for each Sunday of the year. And then you go to the lectionary for your readings. And so what I was looking for was the set prayer, the collect for the Sunday after Easter. And I got my book, I couldn't find it. It wasn't there. And then somebody pointed out something to me. The reason it wasn't there is it wasn't called the Sunday after Easter. In the book, it's called the Second Sunday of Easter. And I think that's great. And hence why I've thrown out to you that I hope I've got my sums right, that today is the 14th Sunday of Easter. We celebrate Easter, the fact that Christ is alive every day. Now I want to take you back just before Easter. And somebody asked me a question. They said, Tim, you've been preaching quite a long time now. When you come to things like Christmas or Easter, how do you manage to find something new, you know, something fresh to say? And I thought about it for a moment and said, you know, I have to confess I do struggle a bit with Christmas because of all the stuff that gets put into it and around it. But I said, I have no problem with finding something fresh and new to say about Easter, because my experience is that most people do not know the Easter story. And so there's always fresh, new things to say. And the first part of that question, you know, Tim, you've been doing this a long time, is certainly true. Yes, I am getting older. I was thinking about it. The first couple of times that I preached at Sheldon Road, I preached from the pulpit. So there's not many of you who can know that it was over there. Yeah? So that takes you back into the late 80s, I think. Was it 88, 89 when you did your extension or whatever? So that's how old I'm getting. And you might think, actually, having said that I wanted to talk about Easter today, I'm also getting a bit confused. Because having said I wanted to talk about Easter, I must have given Ruth the wrong reading, surely. Because the readings we have were the ones that we do on the day of Pentecost. But perhaps not. We're going to see that maybe there is, if we read the whole of the story of Pentecost, it's actually an Easter story. Can we just pray together? Father, thank you that as we come to your word, we can come with that expectancy that you want to speak to us. And we ask for your Holy Spirit just to come and help us to hear from you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So why do I say that people don't know the Easter story? Well, I think at its simplest is the Easter story, we tend on Easter Day to just finish at the cross and then the resurrection, the empty tomb. But understanding the Easter story involves having an encounter with the risen Lord Jesus. We haven't finished the story if that doesn't happen. And when we understand, when we hear the story, then there has to be a response to it as well. So when we come to the day of Pentecost, we tend to read probably the first part that was done on the video. We read verses 1 to 21 of Acts chapter 2. Trying to explain about what was happening on the day of Pentecost. And we finish with verse 21. Let it shall come to pass, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But we don't tend to be talking about that, because we're getting ourselves all mixed up. I want to say to you that this chapter in Acts doesn't have the main emphasis on the work of the Holy Spirit. Peter makes a brief reference, cross-reference, to the prophet Joel. He talks about the fact that when the Spirit comes, that people will have dreams and visions. He mentions twice about the fact that when the Holy Spirit comes, people will begin to prophesy. But I want to say to you that we don't talk about the fact that he said, and everybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So I want to look at this slightly differently and say, actually, Peter's sermon starts at verse 21. And it starts with him saying three things about Jesus. He says, first of all, I want to tell you, he said, about Jesus of Nazareth, the one who was attested or shown, proved, manifested miracles among you. Jesus of Nazareth, man attested by God, by miracles, wonders, signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. There were people there that had seen Jesus healing the sick. Maybe had seen Jesus raising the dead. They had heard his teaching. And yes, when we get an understanding of what was happening on Pentecost, we need to start by focusing on who Jesus is. He is the one who is the miracle worker. He is the one who can do amazing things. And it's not the story that they couldn't relate to, because if they hadn't seen it, they knew somebody who had. So Jesus, the first thing we're told then about Jesus is he's the one who works miracles. But then it says this: him, the one who did the miracles, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and crucified and put him to death. So the second crucial thing that we need to know about Jesus is that he is the one that was crucified. Yes, you say, well, surely, yes, okay, that's part of the Easter story, isn't it? That Jesus died on the cross. But twice, actually, in this passage, Peter uses the same phrase when he said, you crucified him. Again, this isn't a remote story. It's something they're involved in. And we need to make sure that our understanding of the Easter story has the cross central. Why Jesus had to go to the cross. We'll see that in a minute. And then it says, the third thing, God raised him up. Because it wasn't possible. he loosed him from the pains of death. It was not possible that he should be held by it. God raised him up. The next part of the Easter story is that Jesus is raised from the dead. And we've proclaimed that in some of the hymns we've sung. Lo, in the grave he lay, but up from the grave he arose. And that's really important. But that's not the end of the Easter story. The Easter story. Peter's only just warming up. He really is. That's not the end of the Easter story. Now remember, he's speaking to an entirely Jewish congregation at this time. So then he goes on to sort of say, well, can I remind you about David? You know, everything, you know, very often if you wanted to affirm something, if you could get, for Jews, if you could get King David's quote, it sort of added, it gives added emphasis, added strength, if you like. And he says, let me remind you what the King David said. And King David prophesied about Jesus. Therefore, this is verse 30, being a prophet, knowing God had sworn an oath that from the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on the throne. So what David says, prophesying, looking forward, there will be a time when God would raise up Jesus. Resurrection was prophesied. It was an amazing event, what happened on Easter Day, but it wasn't a surprise to those that knew their scriptures. David says, God has raised him up. And he said, so what Peter is saying in this sermon is, you need to know, understand who Jesus is. Miracle worker, the healer, the one who died on the cross, the one who is raised from the dead, before you get on to talking again about the work of the Holy Spirit. So he says, David prophesied that Jesus would be raised from the dead. This Jesus God has raised up. He's now exalted at the right hand of God. And then he's received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. The things that you see, now see and hear. And do you see how it is, this progresses? That if we just get involved in at Pentecost, if we just get involved in discussions about the Spirit, we've missed the core to Peter's sermon. The core of this message is, understand who Jesus is. Understand what Jesus has done. There's another verse in Scripture. It talks about that the signs and wonders will follow the preaching of the word. So we talk about Jesus rather than get into a debate about the gifts of the Spirit. You know, it's important that we proclaim who Jesus is. The one who God has made. It says, the one that you crucified, God has raised him up and made him both Lord and Christ. So our focus has got to be on Jesus, not on just on the Spirit. We can only understand the working, the way that the Spirit comes, how he moves, what he does, if we first of all got an understanding of who Jesus is. You see, the Easter message, yes, is the cross. Yes, is the resurrection. But that's not the end of it. It is then that, as I say, we'll go on to see that there has to be a response to that message. But so often we want to clamp it down. It wasn't just a bit of fun saying, this is the 14th Sunday of Easter. It's important to understand that. That Jesus is alive, and proclaim it, and keep on proclaiming it. We'll come back to thinking about resurrection next Easter. You know, let's put that away, put it up in the box. or on Pentecost, well, we'll come back to talk about the Spirit next year. No, the things, they intertwine. They're linked. The one follows the other. But we want to clamp it down. We want to, put things back in their box. You know, get back to normal. Horrible phrase. When we were in the first lockdown period, you know, when the churches were closed and, you know, everything else, I was reading emails from people in some of the churches we're linked in, and people started saying things like, wouldn't it be great when we get back to normal? And I thought to myself, no, not really. And then a few weeks later, I was hearing even more. Hey, it's going to be good. We're going to get back to normal. And I said, no. And I really do believe that my spirit rose within me and said, no. And the reason we don't want to get back to normal, put things back in their boxes, is that normal was not working. Do you remember that? Normal wasn't working because we're not getting people hearing and understanding the Easter message. We're not getting people coming to faith. Coming to understand what it is to have their sins forgiven and to receive new life. That's what the Easter story revolves around. And normal wasn't doing that. Sorry, but it wasn't. The church in Chippenham is reflective of the church in our country. It's in decline. There are places, pockets, where that's not true. But I've been in Chippenham over 40 years now, and the population has gone up by 3 and a bit times. I think it was about 12,000 in 1980. Is it nearly 40,000 now? Well, in excess of 35,000. I don't know. The numbers don't matter. What numbers are there in the churches? Probably very similar to what there was in 1980. So the church is going backwards in that sense. So no, I don't want to go back to normal. I don't want to have these things put back into their boxes where we don't talk about them until it's the right time of the year. So that's why you've got to forgive me talking about Easter at the end of July. I'll talk about Easter in August if you give me the opportunity as well, and in September, because it's important. It's the core message. We need to get back to proclaiming the Easter message. And the reason I said I don't think people know it is that if we know the Easter story, there has to be a response to it. So Peter, as he preaches, points out what Jesus has done, points to the cross, points to the resurrection. Then he says this. The people begin to be stirred. They begin to be uncomfortable. They're not very clear. They don't like this preaching. They come to the point where they say, when they heard this message, they were cut to the heart, and they said, Peter, what can we do? How can we respond to this message? And Peter gives one clear, definite message. He says, you are to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Oh dear, if the message wasn't popular there before, it gets even more unpopular now. You see, the response that is necessary to the Easter story is to repent. To acknowledge the fact that we need forgiveness. That it says, you crucified him. Well, we could say, it's partly because of my sin and your sin that Jesus had to go to the cross. And there has to be a turning away from that. What can we do? Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Why is baptism important? Well, it's important because it's a public declaration of changing allegiance, of moving from darkness into light. I love the verse in Romans 6 where it talks about we're buried with him into his death in baptism, and then we're raised to newness of life. It's a public declaration that we want to die to the old life and come into the new life. There has to be repentance. And then declaring the fact that we want to follow him. And then I said to you that the main emphasis of Acts 2 is not the Holy Spirit. So Peter has preached about who Jesus is, preached the cross, preached resurrection. And then it says, you are to repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And then you can receive, you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Oh, don't we get it back to front? Don't we want to have our arguments about, you know, which gifts of the Spirit are here for today and which aren't, and should we even have any of the gifts, and do you need to speak in tongues? All that sort of stuff. Yes, they matter, but nothing like as they don't matter at all until we've got the first stage clear, which is who Jesus is and how we respond to his death on our behalf. You see, Jesus taught his disciples when he, in John, well, John, there's three chapters really, John 14 through to 60, about when he left, he would send the Holy Spirit. And he says in John 16, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict. He'll bring conviction. He'll bring to people the understanding that they need to ask for forgiveness. He'll bring conviction of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. It points to Jesus. The Holy Spirit will always point to Jesus. Then you can receive new life when you ask for forgiveness, when you seek forgiveness. So I'm going to ask you, have you heard the Easter message? Have you heard the Easter story? You know, time is short. We had a bit of fun saying, is this the 14th Sunday of Easter? Don't assume we're going to have a 15th Sunday of Easter. If you're able to hear, there needs to be a response. And we're going to sing the song in a moment. In fact, if the music group come, please. We're going to sing that song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross on Which the Prince of Glory Died.